Welcome to the Portland Christian Center podcast. This week was our Declaration Sunday as Pastor Ray Noah continued our series, Kingdom Builders. His message was titled, Kingly Blessings for Kingdom Builders. Now here's Pastor Ray.
Well, if you have a Bible with you, you are welcome to turn to Matthew, Gospel of Matthew chapter 6. If you don't have a Bible, there's one underneath the chair that you can access, or just wait, it'll be on the screen in a moment. But anyway, Matthew chapter 6, and we want to talk about kingly blessings for kingdom builders out of this particular chapter today. You know, for weeks, obviously, if you've been a part of Portland Christian Center, throughout our Kingdom Builder series, based in Joshua chapter 1, we're not going to be there today, but based in Joshua chapter 1, by and large, we've been discovering the steps to align our lives for a high-velocity faith or a high-impact Christianity. And we're also discovering, concurrently with that, the promises that God makes to those who will so align their lives to be kingdom builders, the promises of God. What are those promises? Well, from Joshua chapter 1, we have the promise of God's power, the promise of God's protection, the promise of God's presence, and the promise of God's prosperity. Now, those aren't my promises. They're not things that I made up. But if you happen to believe that the Bible is God's word, those are God's promises. So they're not mine, but they're God's promises to those of us who will so align our lives to take care of his kingdom that he says, this is what I'm going to give you. This is what I'll do for you. Now, here's the deal. As we align our lives to build God's kingdom, God does release kingdom blessing to us. We align our lives to build God's kingdom. He releases kingdom blessings to us. Jesus said it so clearly, so powerfully in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. Reading out of a different version than what you likely have, this is how it goes. Jesus said, if we seek God's kingdom above all else, if we seek God's kingdom above all else and live righteously, then he will give us everything we need. That's what I want. That's what I want. That's what I want for me. I want what God wants to give, which is always more than enough for what I need and even what I desire. What God wants to give me is far more than I could ever ask for or imagine in my wildest dreams. And I want that for your life as well. I really do. You know, I think maybe some of you might wonder, like, why is he doing this, all this stuff about kingdom builders and giving out these mugs and calling us to do this and that? Is it because he wants our money, our resources, because he has these grand visions that he wants to do? Well, I mean, I do have grand visions, and I do want to do things through this church for the Lord. But I want this for you because I want you to live the blessed life. I mean, I can honestly say that to you. I want you to come into the blessing zone of God's favor and live there. I really do. And I want that for our church as well. I want that for your life and our church as we work to advance, to build God's kingdom, not only here in Portland, but all around the world. And we've had a tremendous rate of success, testimony of success in doing that over the last few years and really over the life of this church. But I think we're only scratching the surface of what God wants to do through Portland Christian Center as we align our lives in greater and greater ways to build his kingdom. So the question then this morning that I want to ask and answer is this: what does it take to have God's favor and kingdom fruitfulness and the fullness of blessing, the fullness of provision? Not someday in the eternal kingdom as we believe, but right now in the kingdom come, right now. How do we have that right now? Well, there's a key phrase, a very key phrase, in an earlier part of Matthew chapter 6, at the end of what we call the Lord's Prayer, that is the answer. We've all heard of the Lord's Prayer. We call it the Lord's Prayer. Jesus didn't say this is the Lord's Prayer. He said this is your prayer, but it's been coined by theologians that this is the Lord's Prayer. And at the very end of that prayer is the key to accessing the continual and abundant favor of God for our lives and for our church. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus is showing us how to align ourselves for God's purposes. God, your kingdom come. And to position ourselves for divine provision. Give us today our daily bread. God, come and meet us in our moment of need. And then he concludes that amazing prayer, the world's greatest prayer, in verse 13. I'm going to read this out of the King James Version, because if the King James is good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for us, right? I'm going to read it, because a lot of us learn this prayer out of the King James Version. And so this is the last verse of that prayer when Jesus offers, or when Jesus offers a benediction to the prayer. And this is how he says it. Why don't you say it with me, in fact? For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. In this final phrase are three necessary alignments for the release of favor and fruitfulness and fullness in our lives. You're going to see in this phrase three nouns and one pronoun. Three nouns: kingdom, power, and glory, and one possessive pronoun: thine. Not mine, but thine. And these pronouns, these nouns and this pronoun unlocks that promise of God's best blessings upon our lives. If it's divine favor and kingdom fruitfulness and full provision that you want for your life and for your church, then make it your consuming passion to, number one, prioritize the welfare of God's kingdom. Number one, prioritize the welfare of God's kingdom. God, your kingdom come. And then number two, depend completely on God's power, because thine is the power. And then number three, live only for God's glory, for thine is the glory. So let's take a moment to unpack these promises, or these alignments that will unlock these three catalysts for God's favor. So let me just walk through these very quickly. This is not a deeply profound sermon, I don't think. This is very simple, but it's a very practical way to access what God has promised to give his people. So number one, God blesses people who ruthlessly prioritize his kingdom. God blesses people who ruthlessly prioritize his kingdom. For thine is the kingdom. For thine is the kingdom. That's simply Jesus calling for the full surrender of your agenda to God's agenda, to submit your agenda to God's agenda. That means that every day, in every way, you've got to get up and you've got to put God's purposes before your own. You have to replace that universal humanistic prayer, my will be done, for God's prayer, thy will be done. Above all else, this alignment means that you must care about what God cares about. That you must care about what God cares about. And Jesus said, and we say it around here a lot, that if you will care for God's concerns, God will make sure that your cares, that your concerns are cared for. We said that last week. We've said it for years now, that if you will take care of the things that God cares about, God will take care of the things that you care about. That's not my promise, but that's God's promise to us, that God will make sure that our concerns are cared for when we care for God's concerns. And that's what Jesus meant, I believe, in Matthew 6:33. Seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. What are all these things referring to? It's referring to the things that you are concerned for, the things that you care about, the things that you need and want in your life, like health. Anyone concerned about health at all? Or finances? Or security? Or relationships? Or things as simple as just food and clothing and shelter? How about satisfaction and significance and success? These are the things that you care about. Jesus said, if you'll care about the things that God is concerned for, he will take care of these things. He will give you these things in your life. God will meet your every need and fulfill your every desire. An amazing promise of abundant blessing when you say to God, God, you first. God, you first. Thy kingdom come. So let me rephrase that first catalyst of blessing in a way that's very simple, yet I think is profoundly helpful in understanding what Jesus is saying here. And here it is, that wherever you want God's blessing, there you must put God first. So wherever you want God's blessing in your life, which should be in all dimensions of your life, by the way, but let's just talk about it specifically. Wherever you want God's blessing in your life, there you must put God first. And so if you want God to bless your career, then guess what? You've got to put him first in your work. You've got to work at whatever you do with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for man. because it's the Lord Christ you serve. Paul taught that in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23. If you want God to bless your marriage, then guess what? You got to love your spouse. What does that look like? As Christ loved the church, and he gave himself up sacrificially for it. Paul describes that in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. If you want God to bless your finances, then tithe and give on your income. Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9, honor God with the first fruits of all that you produce. You want your resources to increase, your personal finances to be stable and to increase, then try it. Put God first in your giving. Again, some of you might say, well, you just want more of our money. Well, no, I don't. I really don't. I mean, if you're, and a lot of people come on Sundays that are visiting and they're from other churches, do this in your church. Or when God leads you to somewhere else down the road, not while I'm pastor, obviously, you're all going to stay here, right? But, you know, when you're in a different, try it there. But this works. This is a universal, a theological principle that God will bless those who put him first in their finances. If you want God to bless your health, then guess what? Take care of your body. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 says that we are to treat our bodies as the temple of the Holy Spirit. Turn to somebody and say, hey, I'm a temple. Come on, man. Treat your body as the temple of the Holy Spirit. I think far too many Christians, I think this is a weakness in the church, by the way. I think far too many Christians, because we see ourselves as temporal beings and our eternal home is elsewhere, we kind of trash the temple, don't we? We treat it like a garbage bin at times or a storage locker. We need to see that God created this just like he created the environment. And we are to steward the environment in a way that glorifies God. We're to steward this environment, this personal environment that we have, in a way that honors God. So if you want God's blessing on your health, then honor your body the way God told you to. If you want God to bless your intellect, then put him foremost in your thoughts. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 says that comes through daily renewing your mind in the word and in the thoughts of God. If you will even put God first in your troubles, he will bless you there as well. He'll even bless you in your trials and your tribulations. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10, therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness. My weakness says, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That's why, for Christ's sake, I delight in my difficulties, for when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Even in your troubles, you can find God's blessings. Now, how do you put God first in your problems? Well, I'll tell you how you don't. You don't do that by saying, oh God, why me? You don't do that by saying, oh God, poor me. You do that by saying, God, shape me in this problem, in this trial, in this pain that I'm going through. Use this to fulfill whatever I'm going through. Use this, God, to shape me for your purposes. So the point is that wherever you want God to bless your life, there you must put God in first place. If you can truly say, God, yours is the kingdom in your finances, in your interests, in your relationships, in your dreams, in your goals, in your work, in your health, and even in your troubles, then he will make sure that all of these things will be added to you as well. All these things will be added to you as well. He will take care of the things that you're concerned about. So that's number one. Number two, God blesses people who are utterly dependent upon his power. God blesses those who utterly depend upon his power. For thine is the kingdom and the power. Thine is the kingdom and the power. Psalm chapter 84, verse 5 says this, that you, God, you bless all who depend upon you for their strength. Depending upon God for his strength. You see, God doesn't bless the self-sufficient. The self-sufficient bless themselves. And they can do a good, self-sufficient people many times do a good job of taking care of blessing themselves. But God can't really bless them like he wants. His general blessings, his general grace, I suppose, is upon them. But he really isn't released to bless them as he desires. You know why? Because they don't need him. Self-sufficient people really don't need God. They have it all already. They've taken care of themselves. But in doing that, they miss out on his supernatural power that enables human beings to do what only God can do. You see, in my life, I don't want to just do what I can do and do it well. I don't just work to, you know, improve myself so that I can do amazing things in my life. I want to do things that are beyond what I can do. I want to know the satisfaction of God flowing through me to do things that only God can do, don't you? That's supernatural living. And so if we want that for our lives, we have to utterly depend upon His power. See, God works from a different power system. The very first thing that Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount, if you really want to understand what the kingdom of God is, and I think in a couple of weeks I'm going to come back and talk about, well, what is this kingdom that we're building? But no one described it better what it looks like than Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount from Matthew chapter 5 through chapter 7. And he starts out with the Beatitudes or the blessings. And Jesus taught the very first thing in the Sermon on the Mount, the very first thing that he taught was utter dependence upon God. He said in Matthew 5:3, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." In other words, what Jesus was saying there is that with less of your ability, there is more room for God's power. That's why Paul said, you know, "In my weakness then I am strong." Why? Because his weakness allowed him to come to the end of himself and to say, "God, unless you show up, I'm in trouble." And God does. So what does this mean for you? That the more that you depend on God, the more that you depend upon God, the more He will release His divine power to you. And that's exactly why He invites you into, or He sometimes puts you into situations that are very uncomfortable for you, that require divine enablement. Have you ever been in one of those places where you're saying to yourself, "God, if you don't show up, I'm going to look pretty bad, and so are you since you called me to this"? I mean, where you just need God or it's going to be a disaster. And that's why God allows us to walk into those kind of situations. If you're only in places, if you only find yourself in spots, or you control your life to the point where you're only in places that you're comfortable with, that you're confident in, that you can handle, then you will never gain a testimony of divine empowerment, of divine enablement. Now, by nature, we resist those situations. We don't want to put ourselves out there in places where we're uncomfortable. But if you want God's power, a release of divine kingdom power in your life, then cultivate utter dependence on Him. And the best way that you do that is by risking faith. The best way to step out there where God can release His supernatural power to you is to step out into the rare air of risky faith. Now, I'm not talking about stepping out foolishly and presumptuously. I think we got to be careful about that. But prayerfully and reflectively, when you step forward in faith in an area that it's you're stepping out and you know it's God, that's where God will show up and empower you to do what only God can do. If you were here last Sunday or you listened to the CD, the whatever we call it, the podcast, thank you, Pastor Joel, the 8-track of that, whatever it is these days, you heard an amazing, powerful, risky testimony by the Orfields down here. I mean, they did that. They said, "God, we believe that You are calling us to make our lives and our business a kingdom-building business." And they started that. They stepped out in faith when they didn't really have anything. They said, "God, You're calling us to this, and we're going to do it." And God began to bless their business. God began to bless their finances, and they were able to graduate up to extraordinary levels of giving to the kingdom of God. And I don't believe that it's over for you guys. I think He's got more for you. And it's been fought by the enemy, tooth and toenail, at every step of faith that you've taken, including this one. But they have been... God has enabled them to give not just significantly, because all of our gifts are significant, but to give substantially to the advancement of mission, the cause of missions in particular, around the world. It was an uncomfortable thing that they stepped into. They stepped out beyond their ability, but God showed up with His enablement and has enabled them to do what only God can do. So let me ask you this, where do you need to do something like that? Where do you need to step out and trust God more? Where can you take those risky steps of faith in your life? If you want a release of God's power, where then do you need to do that? Where is God leading you to do that? In your finances? in your witness, in your ministry. Maybe God is calling you to do something for the kingdom that you're going, this is beyond my ability or my availability to do. But you step out into that and you watch God will enable you to do what he's called you to do. Listen, God wants to empower you to do what you can't do, which is the thing I think I love most about being a Christian. God wants to empower us to do what we can't do, but only God can do. I used this verse last week, one of my favorite Old Testament verses, 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord look back and forth, search back and forth across the whole earth, looking for people whose hearts are fully devoted to him, so that he can show his great power. He will release his great power. His hands are untied to bring his great power to bear to help you in doing what he's called you to do. What a fantastic promise that is. And so I'm going to challenge you to risk a step where you have to express greater dependence upon God for his power. You know, maybe at the end of the service today, when you walk out with your Kingdom Builders investment card, your declaration card, maybe that's it for you. But it might be something else. But just do it and watch what God will do through you. It'll be amazing. His promise, again, his promise, not mine. You do that and God's power will start flowing and your faith will start growing and your blessability will skyrocket. I guarantee it from God's word. That's the second one. Number three, God blesses people who intentionally promote his glory. God blesses people who intentionally promote his glory. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Psalm 115, verse 13 says, God will bless everyone who honors him. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter how great or how small, how old or how young, how rich or how poor, how educated or uneducated, how talented or not, how beautiful or good-looking you are or not, how well-dressed you are or not. It doesn't matter. That verse says God will bless everyone who honors him. Everyone who honors him. You know, I believe that the defining moment in a human being's life is who's going to get the credit, me or God? We get that one right, and right is giving God the credit, then everything else will fall in place, and divine blessing will begin to flow in our lives. You know, one of the great creeds of the church, we're really not much of a creedal church. Our denomination is not really a creedal denomination, but one of the great creeds or teachings of the church is called the Westminster Catechism. And it's a series of questions and answers, theological, that really define what it is, describe what it is that we are as evangelical believers. And the most well-known and most familiar of these creeds within the Westminster Catechism is the one that asks the question, what is the chief purpose of man? And the answer to that is man's chief purpose is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. And his chief purpose is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. That is why we were created. Do you realize that is the purpose of your life? That is why you exist? That is your raison d'etre, your reason for being? God created you for his glory. And that's where, when you begin to understand that and live that out, that's where success comes. That's where significance is found. That is where satisfaction is experienced. You want to be successful, truly, eternally? You want to have a significant role in this life, in this world? You want to enjoy? You want to have satisfaction? Then figure out what God's glory is and begin to promote that through what you do. You see, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. And we are most satisfied in him when we are addicted to his glory. When our life revolves around bringing glory and honor to him. I think I've told you this story before, but a few years ago, we had some Christian business men come into my office. I was with my management team, senior leadership team, and they were talking to us about something that they wanted to do, help us to do in our church, and they began to look at the pictures on my wall of all the church planters that we've done in Africa. They started asking questions about that, so we started telling them of this amazing work that God has enabled Portland Christian Center, the Petros Network, to do in Africa. 2,000 churches that we planted in 5 years, 6 years now, 300,000 people have, in unreached, very poor villages, have made decisions to follow Christ. We've started, you know, a widow's work and orphanages and all these things that we've done. And as I was telling them this story, they were kind of getting agitated. These were local businessmen, and they were kind of getting agitated. And finally they said, and I think it was kind of a little ego-driven because they fancy themselves to be really connected, plugged into what's happening in the Portland area with the churches. And they were kind of agitated. And they said, how come we've not heard about this? How come there's no one famous involved in this? And just without thinking about it, I said, well, I think the idea is that we're supposed to make Jesus famous. And they went. And my leadership team just looked at me like, that was brilliant. And I wasn't trying to be brilliant or holy or anything. It just came out like, I think we're supposed to make Jesus famous. Because I think that's really our calling, isn't it? And that became kind of a thing for me. Like, yeah, that's it. I mean, it was one of those self-revelation moments. It's like, yeah, that's what your life is to be about making Jesus famous. Wherever you are, wherever I send you, whatever you do, make me famous. So this morning, I want to challenge you to get addicted to God's glory. The more you are, the more God can bless you. I've told this story before, but it bears repeating, and some of you are new, and maybe some of you are visiting, and you've not heard this before, but this has become kind of a mission statement for my life, and I lead the church in a way that this is kind of our missional statement as well, and I know some of you have adopted this. In fact, I saw yesterday someone post this on social media, and I was so pleased and proud that they had done this, and you could tell that's what their life has become all about as well. But it revolves around the story of Johann Sebastian Bach, who had the habit of writing the initials SDG at the bottom corner of his compositions, his musical compositions, and he did that to remind himself and anyone else who would play his musical scores down the road that the glory was God's alone. SDG stands for the Latin phrase, you know it? Say it with me, soli Deo Gloria. You get it, soli Deo Gloria. Bach didn't write DG, glory to God, which sounds pretty cool, but he wrote SDG, glory to God alone. Not to Bach, not to anybody else. The glory belongs to God. And that is the alignment, that makes your life blessable. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. That is the highest use of our one and only life. Not to get what we want, but to get what God wants to give us. To get what God wants, and thereby to get what God wants to give us, which is more than enough to meet our needs and fulfill our desires, and then some, and then some. If your life is, and let me close with this, is your life so aligned that you can pray that prayer? God, you first. God, I'm utterly dependent on your power. God, I do this. I want to do this. I want my life to be about your glory alone, soli Deo Gloria. I'm going to lead you in a series of prayers. And then as we end, we're going to have a couple of other acts of worship. The penultimate, if you will, act of worship will be the missions offering. We'll do that. And just let the Lord lead you in how you're to give for that. But then the final act of worship is simply for you. If you're led, you've prayed about this, and you're ready to take your declaration card and take it out to one of the tables and just turn it in. Again, the amount doesn't matter. It's the heart. It's the heart of the matter. It's most important. And that'll be our final act of worship. But let me just walk you through very quickly some prayers. here. The prayers of alignment, really. So here's the first one. And in fact, I'm going to ask you to bow your heads on this one, if you would. So the question here is, where do you need to start putting the kingdom first in your life? You think about what's been said. And maybe this has prompted something in you. I'm asking you, in your life, where do you need to begin to put the kingdom first? That you're not doing that right now. Maybe it's in your health, or your marriage, or your relationships, or your career, or your finances, or you name it. I think you kind of get a sense of, this is where I need to step up and step out and put God's kingdom first.
Thanks again for listening to this week's edition of the Portland Christian Center podcast. If you want more information about the ministries of Portland Christian Center or have a prayer need, please visit us online at pcctoday.com. Thanks for listening.